What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
What's up, Dobro?
Featuring
Wilmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher, Boy Shasky.
Take him out!
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
It is separation time. And what I mean by that is we're going to separate the real from the fake from the real, the hardcore Warrior fans. How are you feeling right now? Because it's going to test the will of the casuals, of the folks who just jumped on board during the championship years. The Warriors are now 19-20, first time all season. They've been under 500. They take on the Minnesota Timberwolves today, 6:30 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game. You can listen to it or watch on NBC Sports Bay Area. And we're talking Dubs here at the Warriors Wednesday, brought to you by Freeman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freeman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. And we're talking about how did we get here? How did the Warriors get here? Not empowering the youngsters? Is it the Draymond Green dilemma? Is it letting go of Klay Thompson? Is it letting go of Jordan Poole? Is it letting go of Kevin Durant? Now, they didn't win a championship. So I'm gonna pause off that. I'm going to look at everything from the 2022 championship on. What has happened since then? How did we get into this position, watching our favorite team hit the floor and lose to a team like the Toronto Raptors, who had lost 16 of their previous 17 games? How did we get here, folks?
There was a... naivety, or whatever the hell the word is.
You were naive.
Thank you. When it comes to thinking that these guys would all age like fine wine and just play 70 games and 30 minutes a night, and dude, we're gonna thread the needle. Like, think of how few players have done that in the course of the history of the NBA. And we thought that three of them were gonna do it on one team altogether. That's a little absurd. I mean, we were naive, right? But the other part of this is that we watched the Giants stick together too long and not make the tough decisions. We watched the San Francisco Giants do this, and we know exactly how that ended. Horrifically. Horrifically. And we thought it would be different with the Warriors in what I would deem to be a even younger man's game in basketball,
mm-hmm.
where there's actually even more wear and tear yep. on the bodies.
Yep.
And it's almost impossible to play well deep into your 30s mm-hmm. in this sport, mm-hmm. unless you're a 7 foot, you know, individual.
Right. It's hard.
And I think about Steiny's been talking about this a lot, and he's so right. For a 7 footer to go from being the premier player to a role player, it's a transition.
Yep.
But it's not as difficult as being the best player on the floor as a guard and undersized and continuing to be that guy on a nightly basis and carrying your team as a wing player as you age. I just think that it's a different demand. And then I think about being a 6'6", you know, power forward slash center, going up against way more bigs and athletic guys than at any point in the history of the game. And you have back issues, you know, and athleticism never was your quote-unquote calling card, oh. right? So I think we were all a little naive to think that this would continue to go on for as long as it has.
And you started to see the breadcrumbs of it maybe taking a step. We didn't know what to expect for this basketball team. It just, because Rob brought up Klay Thompson, and you know me, I love Klay Thompson. I love Klay Thompson. And I just remember the Pro Bowl as we were getting ready for the season opener. And there was no Klay Thompson on that promo. And I just thought, damn, it's weird. Man, it's weird. Not get it, trust me. I don't want to go back to saying, hey, they should have signed Klay. It was time for both to move on, obviously.
Yes.
It was time.
But can I take it a step further? I thought it was time. If you're going to say goodbye to Clay, I would have simultaneously said goodbye to Draymond.
It just moved on.
Well, I just think it you cannot have Steve Kerr, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and when you had Clay. Like, there was just nothing new was going to become of that. You needed to separate some of these individuals from each other.
We don't think for Joe. We don't speak for Joe Lacob. We don't do all those things. So I have no idea what he's thinking about. But knowing Joe and we've done interviews with Joe Lacob. We've been lucky enough to sit in a room with Joe Lacob and talk to him about basketball and his passion. And he does have a passion to win. There's no doubt about that. Now, you can make the run, like Kelly Oubre Jr. You think about, and I think that's, you know, Steve Kerr saying, hey, we had a good rational move. They made the Kelly Oubre Jr. move because Clay got hurt. And I understood it. You're trying to get to the playoffs. You got to pay for this building. And it didn't work out. And Lacob admitted it didn't work out. Not every move is going to work out. Not every move has worked out for the Giants. Not every move has worked out for the Niners. Not every move. Hell, we don't even know if the Niners committed to their quarterback yet. And we're 8 years into this tenure with Shanahan and Lynch. It is what it is. But I wonder what Joe Lacob thinks about those comments from Steph, Dre, and Kerr. If you're an owner of a billion-dollar organization, would you want to hear those comments? Would you want to hear that midway through? We're 39 games in. 39 games in of an 82-game schedule. There's over 40-plus games left. And the comments could be interpreted. Now, I don't do it. I've said all week long, Shasky, that I'm okay with the Warriors standing pat if there's a plan in the summertime, because I do think you'll have more options to trade guys and more teams may be privy to trade for those guys with the year left on the deal. And I get all that. The semantics, we can get into it. But I actually subscribe to that. But when you hear it, doesn't it hit different? Like, damn, is this season over? You were just in the box. Kuminga's coming back.
It feels like it's over.
Kuminga's coming back.
It feels like it's over today. But then I also saw the Kings win 8 in a row.
Right.
So I mean, I don't see how. This is where okay. The Kings are all in their prime. They don't rest guys on back to backs. At least they don't. You know, look at the schedule and say, yeah, this guy's sitting. This guy's sitting.
Right.
I know if the Warriors played 8 consecutive games, there would be a back to back in there somewhere, and I know Steph wouldn't play.
Yeah.
See, like I.
It's already baked in.
These machinations of combinations of old man lineups, you have to bake in automatic losses because guys can't play. And that's the part people like when we look at like the team as a whole, we fail to realize.
So with that said, what do you want to see this organization do? What do you want to see them do? We're going to talk to Anthony Slater at 8:30. He's in Minnesota. He wrote a great story. He got the quotes from Steve Kerr. Obviously, Steve Kerr, Joey Willard, and Dibbs yesterday said what he said about the state of the organization. And I'll play it for it right here. Before we go to the lines for the 8 o'clock audience, here's what Steve Kerr said about this position for the franchise.
You know, we're just in a really unique spot through no one's fault, by the way. This is just the reality of sports and life and, you know, whatever. It's just had this amazing run, and we're at the tail end of it, and we're trying to hang on to it. It's a young man's game. We know that, you know, and we were that team 10 years ago. We were Oklahoma City, you know, we were Houston. We were just on the rise. And so now, you know, here we are, and we're on the decline. We know that. Steph and Draymond and I have talked about it, you know, together. It would be so irresponsible for this franchise to trade everything away for one, you know, one final swing at a title.
It is wild to hear it. It is wild to hear it. I understand, Steve. He's spot on. I don't disagree with the comment. I'm a little shocked that the comment was made for public consumption. I'm a little stunned by it.
Okay. If I just took Draymond off the board, just off to the side.
Yeah, because it's not all of Draymond. No. I want to make sure that, you know, it's not just Draymond's. You can't blame everything on Draymond.
No.
That's reckless. Like, there's a lot of moves here. Okay. There's a plethora of things that have gone wrong with this team. It's not Draymond. Draymond actually played well for a while now. Shot his win at Ryan. He's got the back issue, which we knew could be a thing. With the way Mary Babers Green explained it during the NBA Finals when she joined us, y'all have no idea how bad this back was.
That's
where, you know, you resign the guy.
I mean,
you know,
that's a whole nother, you know. I said to everybody, and everyone thought I was crazy, like, you don't pay $25 million a year for a guy who's basically just a defensive specialist.
Right.
That's not how the league allocates money. They allocate money offensively. their number one asset heading into this particular trade deadline, it's not Jonathan Kuminga. It's Andrew Wiggins. He's their number one asset.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is he fits in a lot of places and is a winning player and doesn't need to have the ball in his hands. Mm-hmm. So he works with a variety of combinations of lineups. He plays both ends of the floor. Mm-hmm. Everyone is looking for a 3-and-D type of a guy who can, you know, jam a couple in the lane. And they don't want someone who's going to upset the chemistry, per se, of the team with an attitude.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, B, like, we could talk about trading Schroeder and trading GP2 and Kyle Anderson.
Well, you're probably going to staple these guys.
To me, they owe it to themselves to move Andrew Wiggins at this deadline and get whatever they possibly can, in, whether that's financial relief, whether that's draft capital, et cetera. That would be one of the first things that I would be doing. In the same way that Blake Snell was the premium player to be dealt at the deadline that everyone wanted, to me, Andrew Wiggins is the guy, and it's not a fault of his own. You're not going anywhere with him. I don't think he makes or breaks your season. I still think you could still compete for the quote-unquote box. I don't think he's a big draw in terms of tickets and things like that. I would be trading. He would be one of my number one pieces that I would be looking to trade, either to a contender or to get you something that can maybe help you. Whatever. Look, like, make the decision.
In the future.
He'd be the guy, and I'm not, it's, I like him. I appreciate everything he's done. Like, he's the most desirable guy that a lot of teams would want. And I would start right there.
Well, basically what it is, and whether you start with him or anybody else, Schroeder, Anderson, we'll see what Dunleavy does and what he feels calls. But I think we're getting to the point where, is it just everybody? Is it just everybody? But Steph? Is it everybody but Steph?
Well, I kind of want to see Kuminga stay. And the reason why I'm like, you gotta keep somebody. You know what I mean? You got to have one guy to build around. And like, look, even if you sign Kuminga to a multi-year extension in the offseason, doesn't mean he's here forever.
Right.
Like, you could still explore things down the line. To me, Kuminga stays. Well, Curry stays. Well, also, everything else can go.
I also think you have to evolve with the way you play.
Well, that too.
You can no longer play the way where Draymond's handling the ball in the half court and he's not being an offensive threat. You need offensive threats on the floor. So that style of play, and if Draymond's only going to play the five as a small, well, he's really small right now with a bad back, and that's not good. Like, we saw Jaime Jaquez, and I thought going into the Miami game, for example, we're doing our pre-show call, and we're talking about 22. Matchups. Yeah, but we're talking about pre-game matchups, and yeah. Steve Kerr's been on the podium. He said, look, I got the greatest player, greatest defensive player ever, Draymond Green. Now, that's, you know, whatever. So Draymond Green is a great defensive player, right? Well, I'm looking at their team. Okay, there's Bam Adebayo that you're probably going to have TJD guard. And then there's Jaime Jaquez diving in. I'm thinking to myself, well, just put Draymond on him. And Jaime Jaquez forced Draymond into foul trouble. And I was thinking to myself, damn, Jaime Jaquez is cooking. So if you're not an elite defender at this point, and if you're not going to be an offensive threat, then you have to evolve the way you play. And then you got to ask yourself, does Draymond Green fit the way I want to play in the future? If you're going to talk about fours in today's game, and a lot of teams are going with one big lineups with athletic fours, well, Kuminga's a better option at the four. Kuminga's going to go to the lane. He's going to finish around the basket. He's going to get to the free throw line, and he's going to hit the 10-foot mid-range jumper. Draymond Green, we know, is not going to do that. We just saw Draymond Green pass out a layup, not even looking at the basket. So when it comes to that, So now you got to think about yourself. That's why the whole Klay thing to me, in today's NBA, we're all talking about, I read the numbers again for the 8 o'clock audience before we go to the lines. But when I look at the offense, and this is an offensive-driven league, since the Warriors started 12-3, they're 7-17. They're tied for 23rd in wins losses. They're tied for 27th in points scored per game, 106. They need bucket getters. They're 29th in field goal percentage. They're 22nd in three-point percentage. And they're 27th in offensive rating. There's one thing I know Klay could do is get buckets. Get buckets. Get buckets. But right now, they're not getting buckets. You got a lot of guys who can't score. You're last at free throw shooting, for crying out loud, with a team with Stephen Curry. And he's shooting 94% from the free throw line. And you're dead last in the league.
By design, if I were to ask Steve Kerr, who's your second best player heading into this year, who do you think he says?
Coming into the year or right now?
Both.
If he said right now, He'd probably lean Kuminga or Wiggins.
I don't think he'd say that publicly. And I think that's a problem. I think he would say Draymond and Wiggins before he says Kuminga.
Wow.
And now if you just do the exercise, is Wiggins or Draymond the second best player on the Cavs? No.
No.
Is Wiggins or Draymond the second best player on the Celtics?
No.
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 The Knicks? No. The Magic? No. The Bucks? No. Like, go right down the list of the league. So if I'm telling you that the coach is going to continue to pivot to the second and third best players as Wiggins and Draymond, and then you do the exercise and you go through the league and you ask, where are those guys the second or third best player on this? None of those teams.
No.
That's not good enough.
I'm seeing 5-1-0. Buddy is a big
white flag.
Right. Buddy is a big reason for the big drop off too. But here's the problem.
Buddy's a role
player. You're counting on Buddy Hield to be one of your top four players in the league.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Like, come on, let's go to the lines, man. We got full phone lines
here.
It's okay to say it.
We had a great run.
But now what do you do? What's the pivot now? What's the pivot into the future? What is the right move? Let's start with Will and Marin.
Will, everything.
What's up, Will?
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. I kind of have a what-if scenario, and I know that I'm not trying to blame everything on Draymond Green. However, when you're a leader, sometimes your decisions and the actions that you take have a larger impact.
Yep.
I understand why they didn't draft, you know, they didn't have a vision to draft LaMelo at first, but it kind of blows my mind because he's a pass-first guard. I don't understand why they did that over Wiseman, but then I kind of thought about it. They did that because they have Poole, but hear me out real quick. If you draft LaMelo Ball and Poole doesn't get slept, our future literally could be Kuminga, would have been Ball, Kuminga, and Poole. You mean to tell me you wouldn't want a guy who has 29 points right now in LaMelo and is a stat stuffer? Then you have a guy who can score and get buckets and Poole is averaging 21.
Real quick, Will. See, the reason why I don't think that comes to fruition is because if LaMelo Ball's cooking and he needs the ball in his hands, I think they would have flipped Poole way before we saw Poole become the player that he's become.
I couldn't foresee the coach drafting LaMelo.
I doubt that. Why would? Because I don't like LaMelo's a pass first guy and he's a great shooter. I don't understand why it doesn't come to fruition. Why wouldn't a great shooter and a good passer want to play with the best shooter and passer in the world instead?
But also, you have the LeVar Ball, Steve Kerr dynamic. You have LaMelo Ball, who's a little, you know, come on, it's LaMelo Ball. And then I just don't think Jordan Poole at that point, you got to remember, he was a G League player. We didn't even know if he was an NBA player.
So that patience
for Jordan Poole, if you had a LaMelo Ball, probably would have wore thin. So I don't know if that's even coming to fruition. I hear what he said about LaMelo Ball. Trust me, I do. But I don't think it would have worked. That's just my opinion on that one. Let's go to Rich in Daly City. Rich, what's up?
Good morning, guys.
What's up, Rich?
Yeah. If we're dealing with, you know, we're not going to do anything until the summer, I say play consistent minutes with what we have. I want to see Pods, Moody, JK, TJD at the four, put Post in, who's killing it in the G League, get Knox up here. Get all our young guys. Give them consistent minutes. Don't yank their chains. Let them build some chemistry. Sprinkle in Curry and Draymond. And if Draymond wants out, trade him to Detroit for Durin, who they apparently want out. So you get a young big, potentially, and then to a young team that needs some senior leadership, and let's build our assets. Let's get rid of all the expiring contracts and Wiggins. Get stock up on draft picks or young vets and see what we got, and then restock and use that in the offseason. I mean, there's nothing else to look forward to, and we're not going to trade anyone substantive, so why not play the hand we're dealt?
I hear you. Let's go to Matt Novato. Matt Novato, all valid points there. We're in a sticky situation here with the Golden State Warriors.
They have seven guys who play. Seven guys of this like 12-man lineup that they play who have 8 or more years experience in the NBA.
It's not good.
Who cares?
No, but I guess where I'm going at with this is that like, they got to carve this thing out a little.
Because you have the old guys
to win, but you're not winning. So you got to move the old guys.
No doubt. Matt Novato, what's up?
Hey, guys. First of all, love you guys and your passion for sports.
Thank you.
You're the first thing I listen to in the morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Here's my point. I don't know why the term bandstand fan is a pejorative. Why would I want to watch bad basketball? I'm 71 years old, and I enjoyed watching Rick Barry back in the day and Steph and the Warriors when they were rolling. But why would I want to watch this steep decline when the best players can't even play 2 games in a row? I've got better things to do with my time. Take a walk, read a good book, work out in the gym, enjoy coffee with my friends. Keep bringing the passion, guys.
Great call.
Thank you. Thank you. Why would you watch?
I wanted to ask him, is he still there?
Right. No, he left.
Because I wonder, like, let's say I carved out all the old guys who stink, but I gave you some exciting young players who may or may not be good one day. Is that a better watch than what we're seeing now?
I think people want to see different. They just want to see different. This has been a decline for three years in a row. Like, the Giants have gotten stale, and they got staler under Farhan Zaidi to the point where I was like, I don't want to go to a game.
But
I'll watch because it's my job, but if I wasn't working at Sports Talk Radio, God knows how many Giants games I wouldn't have watched over the last 2 years.
So here's an example. Matt, the boss, and I, Nahigian, we watch every Giants game. I know you do, too. And I would say to you, like, Yaz is a good guy. He's a good player, right? Like, a solid player.
Right.
You know, he's a major leaguer. But it's what he represents. I can't watch the same thing over and over and over. And then here comes Austin Slater. And here comes Wilmer Flores.
Right.
And now the Warriors are serving me up the GP2s of the world. And I like GP2
a lot. It's not even GP2.
No, but you know what I'm saying. It's what he represents.
Here's the deal. And I get where the Warriors were financially.
This is where they were financially.
To where you had to bring in guys like Buddy Hield and Kyle Anderson because of your finances. And now, at least the one positive with this team is you have flexibility with your finances. You have financial flexibility and you have some assets. But you brought in slow-mo Kyle Anderson. Well, a lot of people liked it. I'm thinking to myself, boy, you want to play .5 basketball, get up and down, and you bring in Kyle Anderson. Who's the opposite of that? He's the antithesis of that. He wants to play slow.
And I don't know what position the coach wants him to play.
Don't know what it is. Don't know what it is. So real quick, let's get to Jan in Mountain View. We'll get to Ryan and Daryl on the other side. Jan in Mountain View. Good morning, sweetie.
Good morning. I just wanted to point out a couple of things, and that is that Steve Kerr needs to maybe redevelop the style of play for the players that are left on this team to keep or to have one of those other coaches help with, you know, keep motivating the youngsters to help them play to keep the fan base excited because apparently small ball is out and I think that Curry and Green, they can adapt to whatever could be redeveloped. But you need to change things up and stop playing the same outdated ball that you're playing because it's really losing the fan base, I think. And chucking up threes, you know, all the time is not, you know, very exciting either. You know,
absolutely,
50 threes a game.
Well,
it is a bad watch. Well,
the other night,
bad threes, bad threes.
The other night, half their shots came from the 3-point line. And the problem is, not only are they bad threes, but the reason why you are settling for threes is because you have nobody who could blow by their defender and break down the defense and penetrate and kick and set up wide open threes. That's part of the problem. You don't have a lot of speed out there in a young man's game. So 888-957-9570 is the number. Speed. I love that movie. It still comes
Sandra
on television
Bullock.
All the time. That movie's classic. Shout out to those watching on YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low rate, not a loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Daryl and Ryan, love it. I want you to stagger Slater. We're going to get Daryl and Ryan before we get to Slater on the other side. I want to hear their thoughts. They have some trade ideas for the Golden State Warriors. That's coming up, presented by Safeway.
This is Stephen Curry, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and the Butcher on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Steph, we'll see you tonight in Minnesota. Minnesota, the T-Wolves. They're 6-4 in their last 10. They're trying to figure it out as they're trying to move up the Western Conference standings.
You know, they got KD, but we got Jaden McDaniels.
That's right. He'll be all over Stephen Curry tonight. They're in eighth place in the Western Conference, 21-18. The Warriors at 19-20 right now, out of the box. They're tight with Phoenix. 7-10, Lakers, T-Wolves, Kings, Spurs. Now, if you want some positivity like I bring to the Niners, the Clippers are in fifth place in the Western Conference. The Warriors are three games behind the Clippers in the loss column.
Niners at the end of the year.
Yeah,
they're 1.5 games out of the third spot in the NFC West.
Hey, listen.
But they're also 1.5 games out of the number two pick.
Right,
I can't even believe you said that.
The Warriors are six games up on the Blazers in the loss column. Portland's 13-26, which is better than we all thought they would be. All those Portland Trailblazers, can't overlook them. I know you guys won't overlook them the next time they play.
They're winning for Chauncey.
They're winning for now. They're winning for Scoot. They can bring him into the starting lineup. Fighting for Chauncey.
I'd rather be the Blazers.
No, you won't. No, you wouldn't.
I'm actually excited about the Blazers. No,
I would rather be the White Sox.
Hey, listen. I would rather be
Scoot Henderson. Would you rather every accessory?
I'm actually excited
available.
About the Giants. Would you rather be the Sacramento Kings right now? Oh, they're filling themselves. They got humbled last night by the Milwaukee Bucks. They did.
The NBA has a problem right now, ladies and gentlemen.
And that guy right there is filling himself, Kyle Draper. Before we get to Anthony Slater, let's get to Daryl in Oakland today, Ryan and Sam Bernardino. Let's start with Daryl. What up, Daryl?
What's up, Daryl?
Hey, what's up? Good morning, guys. You know, as a Warriors fan, my biggest fear is the netherworld called the 14th pick, where you barely miss the playoffs, mm-hmm. and then you're stuck there year after year. And I feel like we're heading in that direction with the 1990s. We're like, hey, we have one good player, Steph. So in a way, I just want it to just explode. And let me tell you about vector calculus. Vector is what we have in the universe. It's a direction and a velocity, okay? There's no such thing as a point in the universe, okay? We're going in a there's vectors. And the vector of the Warriors, the velocity and the direction is pointed in the wrong way. And the only way to do that is to have a good draft. And as you guys mentioned in the previously talks is, what was the worst draft in sports era history? It is James Wiseman. We always point back to that. That has exploded the Warriors in a vector that is the velocity and direction in the wrong way. And so we need to get it back with this draft. I don't care if we tank. I just don't want the 14th pick anymore, because that's how you get stuck in that neither world where you're sitting next to J.J. Stokes because you can sneak down to the bottom row, which I used to do with the Vancouver Grizzlies.
Damn.
What a call.
Right. To San Bernardino, home of the San Bernardino Valley Wolverines. What's up, Ryan?
My guys, you know I love your show. You guys have a really good morning show, man. I know I'm in Southern California, but like, you guys really hold it down.
Thank you.
I know way better than John Ireland.
Hey, you guys are way better than most people. You guys are relatable. You guys give me my Niners in a way that's not so, I don't have to say it. Anyway, guys, quick rapid fire. I'm actually a Bulls fan. I'm a diehard Niner fan, which is why I listen. I sympathize with the Warriors now. I sympathize with the Giants, even though I'm in Laker, Dodger land. But I just want to say, as a Bulls fan, Vooch and Zach for Draymond and Wiggins, you guys give us two first protected firsts. You know, two protected first round picks. I think that's a fair trade.
Vooch and Zach LaVine.
Yeah. People normally say Vooch or Zach, but yeah. I think what is needed for this trade is Vooch and Zach. You guys need a bucket getter. Vooch actually can shoot the three. He sets good screens. He doesn't play great defense, but you guys...
Hey, he's shooting 44% you know I mean? From three this year, and there's no doubt about that. Same old Vooch to me. Who would the Warriors be trading in this hypothetical?
Draymond and Wiggins, and two protected first-round picks.
I wonder if fans would do that.
That's actually a pretty good trade. And you guys, because I appreciate your sports acumen so much, can I just ask you another question? Hmm. But it's an NFL draft question. Hmm. It's an idea. I feel like for example, the Ohio State receiver, the freshman, that's amazing. I feel like the number one draft pick should be able to draft him, but they have to wait on him until he's a junior to be able to take him like the normal rules. And with the NIL, I feel like you can actually pay him just to invest in the pick, you know what I mean? But you only do it twice per draft.
We will be having a conversation about drafting to get stashy, because somebody brought this up to me off the record. They were like, yo, what if they started drafting and stashing? And I'm like, I would stash Caleb Downs right now.
For the receiver out of Ohio State.
Jeremiah Smith would be the number one overall
pick. But if I drafted and stashed, I would also call Ryan Day and tell him, do not get my guy.
Well, also that would also create something like if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl this year and like draft and stash like the best wide receiver coming out, right? Like that would be kind of like, okay, like what are we doing here?
Teams will
like parameters, obviously.
Yes. Yeah, but you have to make a decision as an organization. Do you want a player that's going to help me right away, or do I want to look 2 years down the line? What if I'm the Jacksonville? What if I'm like a terrible team like the Carolina Panthers? I draft and stash Jeremiah Smith, knowing that Bryce Young will be 4 years in. Hey, let's go, Bryce. You got Jeremiah Smith? Wow, that's a crazy idea. I love it, actually.
The Niners would do that with Arch Manning this year.
I don't know about Archie.
I didn't see him play. Yeah, I never seen him play.
Yeah, I want to see
a right quarterback sneaks and almost get his head taken off by Ohio State. He almost fumbled by that football. By the way, the second annual 95-70 game knockout tournament is back. Win a chance to shoot hoops on the floor at Chase Center. Maybe we'll get Anthony Slater involved in this tournament. He could help dethrone Mark Grandy, the Grandy man who's our afternoon show producer.
Might be suggestible.
Hey, contest to qualify will start Monday, January 27th and go for 3 weeks. So you have plenty of chances to win. The 8 o'clock hour, 12 p.m. hour, 4 p.m. hour, Monday, January 27th, for your chance to win. And each show will have a slot to give away each day for 3 weeks, and you have to be 18 to win and be a California resident. All right, with all that said, let's bring in Anthony Slater, who's live in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and he joins us courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop, and there's a lot of chatter, Anthony, as you say. Good morning to you. Thank you, as always, for joining us here on the Morning Rush on 95.7 The Game. We've heard from Draymond. We've heard from Steve. You talked to Steve. We heard from Steve yesterday with Lillard or Dibs. You talked to Steph Curry about it, where the Warriors are saying, hey, maybe it's not worth mortgaging the future, making a radical deal. Now, I wouldn't mind seeing them wait until the summer where you may have more options to make a move, but what was your big takeaway from hearing all the rhetoric from Steve, Steph, and Draymond about this situation? And do you believe maybe it's a white flag moment for this year for the Golden State Warriors?
Not necessarily. I mean, I think it's stuff we've been talking about. They just kind of voiced it, and I think it's been taken as like it was some targeted plan to all come out at the same time. The reality is Draymond just talked to Vinny Goodwill, you know, in the Detroit locker room post game. I talked to Steve before those comments even came out about the same thing in Toronto at shoot around. And then because Draymond surfaced, Steph was asked about him.
Yeah.
So that's how they all come out at the same time. And part of that is because it's like, you know, that's the topic we all care about right now, right? With 3 weeks to the deadline, like, what are they going to do? What are they willing to trade? And what aren't they willing to trade? So it wasn't some, you know, clandestine meeting behind the scenes where they all decided, hey, let's break and find the nearest reporter and all say something at the same time. But that's just the topic around the team. And again, I do think Steph's was taken too much as like a don't make a trade at all. And same with, like, you know, you talk to Steve, you talk to other people behind the scenes, like, they're still going to be active going up until the deadline. They're still going to try to get rotation players, particularly guys who help the offense, which is 21st ranked.
Yeah.
But they're not going to panic. And we talked about it last week, right? They're not going to suddenly panic today and go, we need Nikola Vucevic so bad. Here's a first rounder, Chicago.
You know, real quick, Shasky, let me get in here. Because you know, with Steve and everybody saying, well, we don't know what the plan is. And I do believe Mike Dunleavy and Joe Lacob are working the phones. They're going to be as active going up until February 6th. But the fact is, what is out there with the new CBA, with a lot of teams and its parity and the play-in tournament or whatnot? What is really out there that's worth trading for right now? Is it really Jimmy Butler? Is it Zion Williamson? Would Zion Williamson be a fit with the Golden State Warriors?
So, by the way, would the Pelicans even trade him?
I don't know.
We know that.
I know
what I mean?
Exactly.
Brandon Ingram is an expiring deal. Like, he's going to very likely be very available. And, you know, but that comes with, like, do you want to pay him long term? You got to decide on that. As far as Zion goes, like, do the Pelicans really want to trade him at his lowest value and just give him up for some salary filler and a pick or two? Like, I'm not sure that he's, like, that's even going to happen. So I think sometimes people throw out names. It's like there's other teams with other motives on the other side of these deals. I mean, you're dealing with it with Chicago, where it's like, sure, the urgency of the moment might be there for the Warriors to try to make a trade on, you know, mid-January. But Chicago, like, we all know, they're not only are they going to probably wait up until February 5th, 6th to decide on a direction this season. We've seen the last few years, they haven't made a deadline deal in, like, three seasons. They're, like, the longest-standing, like, stay-pat team. But anyway, sorry, go ahead.
No, you answered my question, because I wanted to put that out there, because I think a lot of fans, they look at it from their side of point of view, saying, let's trade this guy for that guy. And it's like, well, those other GMs and other coaches and other players, they all get paid. They have a scouting department. And if you think this way about a player, what do you think those guys think about a player? So you kind of answer my question there, Slates.
Yeah. I mean, and the other thing is, like, what's out there? Like, rotation players that could maybe nudge this team to a better level. Maybe, you know, to me, like, the sixth seed is still, the Warriors are tumbling right now. We understand 7-17. They're heading in the wrong direction. But there's still a lot of teams in their vicinity who are also, like, you know, crumbling as well. Like, Phoenix just lost again last night, so they now have the same record as the Warriors. The Kings have leaped ahead of them at 20-20, but I'm not ready to declare them, you know, solved with this Doug Christie thing. The Spurs are like a game ahead. You could probably leap them theoretically. The Lakers have lost three in a row. They're 20-17, falling back to earth. I'm not sure about the Clippers long term. Like, there is a path to, you know, really kind of maybe overpower yourself into the 7-8 side of the play-in, or maybe the 6. And part of that path is maybe use some second round draft capital, maybe a protected first, go get you a Vucevic, maybe a Cam Johnson, and maybe his price tag goes down, or maybe there's a surprising name out there. But to answer your question, what's out there? It's helpful rotation guys that are not going to take this team into the contending stratosphere. They're not heading towards Boston and Oklahoma City and some of those teams. Like, that isn't out there. And it's fine to go after the other stuff, and they're probably going to, but the two steps back is they're not just going to overpay for it. And that's kind of what their veterans and coach are saying.
Can you conceive any type of a scenario where someone usurps Draymond Green's influence in this organization? So where I'm going at with this, Steph, Kerr, and Draymond feel like the most important players and people on this roster, in this front office. Could you see like someone like a Kuminga, I'm using him as an avatar, usurping Draymond in this hierarchy?
Like, to where Jonathan Kuminga walks into the front office and is like, I want this guy and this guy.
In the sense that Draymond takes a back seat to someone who takes a higher role in the organization. Because I keep hypothesizing and coming back to this conclusion. Dre, Steve, and Steph, something has to be broken up for them to take a step forward.
Yeah, to answer your question as a voice, no. I mean, like, they care about what Draymond has meant to this franchise long term, and the four titles that he helped deliver to the doorstep, and the personality he is, and he's, you know, like he has Joe Lacob's ear, of course, and he means a lot to them, and you know, the way he talks about it, he plans to mean a lot to them, like, long after his career. And let me tell you, Draymond Green is not going away as a personality when his NBA career is over. And I don't think he's going to be going away as like an influential, you know, member of the Warriors, you know, long-term. I just don't. As far as Kuminga, like, how does he get more equity? He's got to sign a contract. Like, you know, that his future needs to get solved. We don't know what his future is over the next 3 weeks, over the next several months. As far as, you know, could Draymond theoretically be moved, traded? That would never, like, if something like that happens, it's going to be a stunning in the moment, oh my God, they just did that, because that's nothing that they would hint to me or any other reporter behind the scenes, because there's just a lot involved in making a decision like that. So I have been given no any indication at all that they'd be open to that. But, you know, shocking things have happened in sports where you know, the outside world didn't necessarily see it coming.
Everybody seems to be reflecting right now, you know, whether it is Steph, whether it is Draymond, Steve Kerr. If Steve, in particular, could go back and you know, just say, hey, I'd like a do-over, what would that do-over be? Would it be a particular draft selection? Would it be playing people in a certain season? Would it be a decision offensively, philosophically? What would be his do-over?
I mean, you'd have to ask him that. I mean, that's certainly a question he'd probably answer. Yeah. I mean, I think franchise-wise, and he's obviously a very, you know, influential part of just like the franchise process, the decision-making process. I mean, we can all look at Wiseman as you know, you had the second overall pick in a draft that, are we really talking with like complete retrospect?
Yeah.
You could have jumped up to the first pick and got Anthony Edwards at the time. I mean, like, again, I think if they jumped up to the first pick, they probably would have taken Wiseman, because like they were like, that was a very consensus choice from stars to coaches to front office. Like, they thought they had found, like, you know, that they were bringing in their center of the future, a guy who right now would be this stretch fried rim protecting force. Yeah. Obviously, we know that didn't happen. So when you ask about, like, you know, ways that this could go differently, like, Anthony Edwards was gettable in that draft. That was considered a top three where, you know, Edwards, LaMelo, and Wiseman, they were going to go 1, 2, 3, but you didn't know what teams and you didn't know how valued they'd be. So to answer your question, if they really had 2020 vision on the past, just go get Anthony Edwards. Imagine him on this team.
Oh. Yeah, that would be amazing. We're talking to Anthony Slater on the Riverwise guest line, our 95-70 game insider, Warriors insider for The Athletic. Does a hell of a job covering this team, covering this league. All right, Kuminga. We brought up his contract situation, but where's Kuminga at with the ankle injury? I've heard nothing. I know they were going to reevaluate him 3 weeks from when the injury took place. Where are we at? About a week and a half into it, almost 2 weeks. What are you hearing about Jonathan Kuminga, Anthony?
Yeah, he's feeling better. He's around. He's on the road trip, which he didn't at first know he was going to make the road trip, but he decided to. He said, I was talking to him the other day in Toronto. He just said he kind of wanted to be around the team right now, support. Celebrini's on the trip, so, you know, it's always good to be around him. As far as, like, he's still in a walking boot. Now he's moving better. It went from crutches to, by the start of the road trip, walking boot, but with, like, a real limp. To the other day, you still walk weird with a walking boot, but it was, like, a much, like, it seems like he's not limping at all, really. And he, you know, I've seen him have it off at times in the locker room. So he's getting better, but it was a bad ankle sprain. He came down, you know, really hard on it. So he's still a bit away for sure.
So about 2 weeks. Damn, that stinks. And Gary Payton II is back. Andrew Wiggins is back as well. He came back the other night against Toronto. Offensively, when you look at these numbers, because they're 7-17 in their last 24 games, and the numbers are just atrocious, Anthony. I mean, first of all, their record is bad. But you look at their offensive numbers here. Points per game, they're 27th. Field goal percentage, they're 29th. Three-point percentage, they're 22nd. Offensive rating, they're 27th. What do you attribute their offensive struggles to?
I mean, a lot of things, but let's start with the veterans who just, like, can't make shots, right? I mean, Buddy Hield, 29% from three, I think, since, like, December 12th, so basically over a month. Dennis Schroeder, I mean, you know his stats since coming in offensively. Like, they made that trade and said it as much afterwards. Like, this is about boosting the offense, and that has not helped. You know, like, the three-point percentage team-wide, I also would say, like, you know, Steph isn't as explosive as he was early in the season. When you go back to that 12-3 start, and he was, like, having those flurries at the end of games, you can remember it in the Clay game, Boston, Oklahoma City, all those big wins they had. That was him down the stretch. He hasn't had as many of those, clearly, right? You know, you could have won in Toronto the other night if maybe he hit a three or two down the stretch, or Buddy Hield had hit the wide-open corner three. So there's a lot of that, and also, you know, roster construction. They were built to be a defensive team that was going to get by offensively, and they're a little bit worse than they wanted to be defensively, but still solid, and they're worse than they want to be offensively, partly because of roster construction, partly because of the guys that they're trusting to shoot it better just haven't shot it well, and the young guys too, right? Kuminga gets hurt at the wrong time, and he kind of had a back-and-forth early part of the season. Pajemski was supposed to be a big part of the offense. Like, he's at this point nowhere to be seen, and it just hasn't necessarily worked in many ways.
God, the Pajemski thing has just been, it's been crazy. I mean, he's just fallen off the cliff right now. And then obviously he's been injured for a long time. Hypothetically, Mike Dunleavy comes to you, Anthony Slater, and he says, hey, Anthony, like, what do you suggest we do over the next couple of weeks heading into the trade deadline? And Bonte and I have kind of kicked this around. Like, I do think there's an argument for, like, sell a lot of things, you know, and just tank it out a little. This is the year to do it. There's another side of me that's like, make a reckless trade. But if you were to give a suggestion and Mike Dunleavy came to you hypothetically, what would your suggestion be?
Well, first I'd ask, like, how much does, like, a good front office job pay? That's my first question.
Very well.
Okay. So now I'm more interested in giving the answer. I think that they should use some of their draft capital to try to help this team in the next few weeks with a smart rotate, you know, try to get a smart, you know, well-fitting rotation player that helps the offense. Again, Vucevic is a name we can talk about, but there's others out there, certainly, and there's probably others we're not even talking about, depending on what, you know, some of these rival teams want to do. And, you know, be willing, certainly, to trade second round, but even maybe, a future first, a protected first. I would try to protect it in the lottery because you just don't want the doomsday scenario of giving up, you know, the third overall pick or something in 2027. And, you know, go help Steph Curry offensively right now. Make this team better. Give it some freshness while also understanding that the 3 days after they traded for Dennis Schroeder, I mean, everybody was talking about, ooh, you know, this is going to be great for them and, you know, what a find and all that. And now 2 weeks later, it's like nobody even cares about that fit. So there's also a chance that you use some of that draft capital and it doesn't really change the path, but there's guys out there. Again, we've talked about it. They've talked about a stretch five would really help. You know, you'd probably rather have a Miles Turner type stretch five because he could protect the rim while also hitting the three. But
could Quentin Post? Know. I don't mean to interrupt you. Like, we get a lot of these, like, people tagging us in tweets and DMing us. Could Quinn Post get a look?
I mean, they're basically saying he's like 2 years away. Like, he needs a lot of developmental time. Now, he went in an Indy, he hit a three, and there were certainly some people behind the scenes, including the head coach, who's like, yeah, that was kind of an interesting look, right? You know, to see the stretch five out there, but there's also an understanding that, you know, he's not, like, he's not ready, and he shouldn't be ready. He was like a, you know, a late second round pick who was on a two-way contract. Like, that's not going to change your season. You know, an idealized version of him, even like, to me, what he can become in this league a few years from now is like Nemanja Bjelica, right?
Right.
Like the career Bjelica had. A 2022 version of Bjelica would help this team. We saw it. But also, like, I don't know. I mean, like, to answer your question, like, Quentin Post is not going to, you know, change the power structure in the NBA.
I hope my father's listening, because last month he goes, Tay, you think Quentin Post, man? I think Quentin Post.
I get it every day.
I was like, Pops,
somebody asks me every day.
Stop with the Quentin Post stuff. Do you think they'll flip Schroeder before the deadline, knowing how it's looked? Would they be inclined to do something like that? I know he's just got over here from Brooklyn. His family's out here. It's been a difficult transition for him. But would they? Because the fit, it just doesn't look like it's going to fit, Anthony. He's a guy where the ball sticks in his hands. He wants the ball in his hands. He wants to run that pick and roll, ready react or whatever. He just doesn't look comfortable right now playing alongside Stephen Curry. Do you think they consider flipping him before the deadline?
Sure. I mean, it has to be in consideration. Now, he can't be aggregated in a deal until, like, the day before the deadline.
Right.
But, you know, if that's what has to make the salary work for something that makes sense, like, yeah, he's an expiring $13 million. They're not tied to him long-term at all. But I will say, like, I don't think he's necessarily first on the list as you try to build up salaries. Like, he's still, like, he's a defensive guard that they feel like they need. He should get better offensively, especially if, you know, theoretically, if you brought in a stretch five like a Vucevic, it doesn't only help Seth. It helps a guy like Schroeder. It helps Kuminga. It helps Draymond, right? Just more floor spacing helps everybody. But right now, I mean, despite of how much he's struggled, to me, he's probably still their fifth, sixth most important rotation player, whereas you could build up salaries with guys much further down that list.
You may not have remembered this player, but Brian Cardinal was a very beloved Warrior during a bad time.
I remember
time.
Brian Cardinal.
Yeah, the janitor, the custodian.
I started watching the NBA, you know,
yeah.
5 years ago. Yes, I remember Brian Cardinal, but go ahead. You want Brian Cardinal on this team?
No, I think that
Guy Santos is the
I'm giving you the Guy Santos. I think we start calling
here
him
we go.
The Zelador. That's Portuguese for the janitor. I think that he does all the
again?
Little stuff.
Can you say that again?
The Zelador.
You just looked that up, the Zelador?
I did. And honestly, I like Guy Santos. I know he's not making or breaking this season, but they got a little spark here with the guy. I mean, he's given me, you know, shades of Juan Toscano-Anderson, just a little bit of everything. You think maybe he gets a little more playing time, or I don't know, or is this just like everybody's hurt and he's getting chances?
Well, everybody's hurt and he's getting chances. I mean, he played the other night because no Draymond, no Kuminga. Draymond, if he plays tonight, he's questionable right now. Like, that'll probably bump him down the ladder where he's very much at the end of the rotation. But, you know, again, like, are you comfortable with him playing over Kuminga when Kuminga's back? I mean, he's kind of blocked at this point. He's a four on a team that has Draymond and Kuminga and obviously other, you know, Kyle Anderson, for example. Would you prefer to play him over Anderson? I thought Kyle Anderson was good in Toronto the other night.
Well, except for the foul at the end of the third quarter.
Okay, well, let's, you know, there's mistake. How about Guy Santos throwing the Zaza Pachulia between his legs?
Oh, yeah,
in the Steph Indy Curry. Game out of
that was actually hilarious. I mean, that was hilarious.
I looked at Steve Kerr, and he had to blink his stare like, I mean, dear God, get me out of here. Yeah. Before we let you go, Anthony.
I mean, this is how damn bad we are, Anthony. I'm asking
how damn bad
I'm
he
asking
is.
You about how to say janitor in Portuguese.
Hey, Anthony, we're going to find out who the real Warrior fans are over the next year or two, that's for sure. Listen, I got to end it with this one. Shask and I made a bet, and they've kind of handcuffed me. And
who's
I basically
you?
Had no stipulations within this bet. I thought I had an injury clause, but I don't. I bet that Draymond Green would play at least 65 games this season for the Golden State Warriors. Shasky bet that he wouldn't play 65 games, and the dinner at House of Prime Rib is on the line. Who do you think wins this bet, Shasky or me?
I think it's going to be close. I think
get off the fence.
Y'all are going to be tussling in late March about where this thing's going. Now, I will say, if 65 is the award qualification,
yes,
And they have a good defense, and he's certainly a candidate for at least all defensive team. He's got an outside shot if they, you know, turn their season around, you know, to get in the defensive player of the year conversation.
No way.
So,
not going to happen.
I mean, like I said, if they turn their season around, you know, when they were 12-3,
they were the second best.
That's what I worry about, Slater. Not to cut you off, but I need the Warriors to remain in this play-in tournament. Yeah. They're three games behind the Clippers in a loss column for the fifth spot. I'm subscribing to that. What you just said, three games behind the Clippers in a loss column in the Western Conference. The Clippers are five right now. I need the Warriors to stay in this race in order for Draymond to play 65.
Yeah, because like if this thing careens towards the lottery, like you know, there's not going to be a desire to play many of these guys in March and April, but if they're in it, if they're playing well, if their defense is like why they're playing well, which is like we would all agree that's how they almost have to win games, it would mean he's playing well, and it would mean he would probably get up over 65 games. But y'all have got a real competition. Whoever set that Vegas line, it was a good line.
It was a hell of a line. I think I just said it out of nowhere. Yeah. I am the gambler of the show.
And by the way, an outlook reminder.
By the way, the Warriors have 8 back-to-backs remaining, right?
Oh, great.
He's been playing back to back.
He has been playing back to back.
You know, he didn't play the other night, but he's sick right now. Like the weather's been horrible on this trip, by the way. It's not only is it a downer trip for them as far as that, but it's like I'm trying to figure out how to get to Target Center for shoot around in about 30 minutes without stepping outside because it's like 2 degrees.
Oh my god!
So it's just great times.
Well, I mean, I set my outlook reminder, for 2 years from now, because Quentin Post, who's 24, who turns 25 in March, will be ready to go in 2 years. I can't wait. Dude, the amount of people who hit us up about Quentin Post, we'd be shocked.
I'm sure Slater gets the same thing. Yeah, I've seen your traction. Sure. Whatever you send out a tweet, there's thousands and thousands of comments.
I've become good at ignoring it. But, I mean, I'm not, and maybe I shouldn't say this to the fans who, I love my followers, readers, all that, but, I don't necessarily lock into every comment heading my way.
Slates are good, man.
So you're
stay
not
warm.
Like Joe Lacob.
Stay warm in Minnesota.
All right, fellas.
See you, buddy.
We'll see you Saturday when you come back to the Bay when the Warriors take on. It's always fun chatting with
always
Anthony Slater.
Game.
Always fun game. Always
it's always fun game.
Quentin Post is 24 right now.
I
okay?
know.
He turns 25 on March. What is this? March 21st.
It's
so.
2 years from now, he'll be 27.
I gotta ask,